read the one together. Psalm 127 in verse number 3. Psalm 127 verse number 3. So we've given you a few weeks here to think about that. So look on your Bible, your tablet, your app. Somebody can share with you. There's Bibles at the back over the coat rack if you need it. Stand with us. Let's read together. I'll read to you. You follow along in the scripture. Psalm 127, I'll read verse 1, 2, and 3. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches, waketh but in vain. It's vain, empty, pointless for you to rise up early, sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's his reward. Would you pray with me? Father God, we love you. We thank you. We need you. Help us today to rejoice. Help us today to covenant together. Help us today to pray together. Help us today hear, understand, and obey the scripture together. And Father, in a world that is absolutely unashamedly, catastrophically attacking children, teenagers, destroying the institution of the family and attacking the most basic ideas, not just from gender, but place, and then the ideas of beauty and the increase in just absolute dysfunction across the board. We want to unapologetically stand today and say that children are from you. And that part of the life of a church is to encourage and edify parents and to stand with them and to pray with them and to encourage them and to covenant with them as they do their very best to have children that are world changers and not changed by the world. So help us do that today. Thank you for these occasions. We ask your help. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me, I pray in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Unless the Lord builds a house. And we've got the stuff running back there. Does anybody know if we got it recording or not? Got it recording. Okay, good deal. Unless the Lord builds a house. And we'll flip to a couple other scriptures, 1 Samuel chapter 1 just a moment, and Deuteronomy chapter 6 is kind of where we're going to end up here. And I was really back and forth, preaching what I'd intended to preach today, then I knew I'd scheduled this, and I was back and forth, and I'm like, well, I could do this and tack it on. I'm thinking, man, if we're out here at 12:10 doing these kind of things, the babies will be cranky, the adults will be cranky, my wife back there in junior church will have disowned me. And so I thought, no, you know, what I think is pretty normal sometimes, maybe just completely abnormal in our world today. I think the most basic thing in the world is look at a baby, look at a toddler, look at a teenager, look at a 22-year-old with his hand stuck out for money and go, man, that's a blessing from the Lord. That's a responsibility. I'm going to give an account one day to the Lord. I think that every day of my life, but I realized, thought again, I don't know everybody thinks that way. I don't know where it goes. Man, I am responsible. I am responsible not for how they turn out. They're responsible for themselves. But I want to make sure that I put up all the guardrails, give them all the instruction, give them all the help, give them the good example and the bad example. When I mess up, I make sure I apologize, make sure I say I'm sorry, make sure they see me repenting, make sure they see me when I stumble, get back up, all those kind of things. I'm going to be responsible for all of that. And when I thought about that, I said, you know, maybe instead of tacking this on the end of the service, maybe we just make this a service. Maybe we just remind us all that unless the Lord builds a house. Let me give you a quick time out here. Quick time out. I'm going to talk about homes and families and all kinds of things. Families are all shapes and all sizes. I don't mean that progressively. I don't mean that in a woke sense. I just mean simply, if God has deemed you for life of singleness or singleness again, you are complete in Christ. Somebody say amen to that. If you're married and for whatever reason don't have children, God didn't bless you with children, right? You are complete. You are whole in Christ. Excuse me. If you'd love to be married, man, you are complete and whole in Christ. Wherever you find yourself, you're a grandparent and you can't keep up with everybody and you just talk about the blonde one and the brunette one, then God bless you. You are complete in Christ. In Christ, you are complete. There is no minimizing of anything here today. Truth of the matter is, I thought again, I was right back where, as I was preparing for today, I was like, man, I remember when we were looking at adoption so strongly because it was not going to be possible for us to have children. And Andre had the embarrassing test, and I was scheduled in a week or two to go have my test, and had already thought about it, and I'd held my wife as she cried. We served on a staff at the time and with other people. And my counterpart, my other associate pastor, they were expecting, and our folks were good-hearted folks, but they didn't always pay attention. And people just kept coming up to Andrea on the Sunday and saying, "Boy, congratulations on your pregnancy." And they'd pat her on the back and rub her tummy, and Andrea wasn't pregnant. And we were really struggling, and Andrea would get to the car, and she'd fall out in a pile of tears. And she was upset because people didn't know what her name was and didn't know that it wasn't her that was pregnant, number one. Number two, she was mad and upset because people thought she looked like she was pregnant. And I didn't know what to do, so I took her to eat, and then I drove her through McDonald's and whatever she wanted. And, man, it was just a, man, it was a rough kind of sledding. And I remember those days so well, and transported back there. So we're looking at this, man, I get it. So time back in, some of these days are just emotional. It's like Mother's Day, Father's Day kind of thing. I get that, but if you'll just allow me, let me focus this way, and then how we can all be a part of that. Is it okay with everybody? Nod your head and say, okay with everybody. All right. So unless the Lord builds a house, let me give you some components here, and I want to help you. Again, wherever you find yourself, single again, married, divorced, whatever it is, number one, if you're going to have a house that's successful, Psalm 127 says it, the foundation is here, foundation here. What is necessary? What is necessary? The house has got to be built by the Lord. House has got to be built by the Lord. In our home, we have stuff that people have given us. We keep it because it's sentimental. We have those kind of things. I've got some Afghans, some blankets people gave me when I was sick. We got some pictures. We got a wall of pictures of our family, extended family that we eat with. There's not a thing in my mind thinks that the Afghan is what's holding the house up. There's not a thing in my mind think that the pictures on the wall are holding the house up. Those are nice decorations. If you're today, here today, whatever your home looks like, and you're thinking that Jesus is a nice decoration, your home's not built on the right foundation. If you think it's built on politics, you think it's built on other family, if you think it's built on the fact that you're a fairly good person, or the fact that you don't act like your previous family or your parents or whatever, and you're so different, I would still remind you, you need to build your house on King Jesus. You need to build your house on the foundation, the teaching of God's Word. If you make this optional, I guarantee you everybody around you will think that it's not necessary at all. I have watched this and watched this and watched this. Someone suggested you have a 0.5% of your children ever playing professional baseball. It's almost that way to ever make Division I, kind of any kind of sport year. But people will do what, man? They'll sacrifice Wednesday night. They'll sacrifice Sunday. They'll spend tens of thousands of dollars for travel ball, knowing full well they have no shot at going forward in that. And then they'll turn 18 or 20. They'll be up to their eyeballs in alcohol and premarital sex, and they'll wonder, where did they go wrong? No, I got to build it on the Lord. I got to have it built on the Lord and built by the Lord. Built by the Lord. What's necessary? It must be protected by the Lord. Look in verse 1 again. I'm talking fast because I don't want to be here for too terrible. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. God's got to protect it. Lord, protect my heart, protect my home, protect my house, protect my family, protect me as a single individual, protect me as a married individual, protect me as someone wherever I'm at, protect me as a young person looking ahead, do that. Let me help you. There's nothing about having a family, nothing about getting married, nothing about getting divorced, and all of a sudden you get real spiritual, and all of a sudden, I'll do that later. No, you are the person you are right now. You're becoming more the person you are right now, and there's nothing about that then. I'll suddenly sober up. I think there's some times in our life where we go, oh, man, I got to do better. I need to do differently. But you need to be who you are right, who you ought to be right now. 10 years working with college students, they'd come in, they'd be all kind of things, and they say, I think I really love this girl, I really love this guy. I'd look at them and say, you need to start acting like you're getting married then. What do you mean by that? I mean, you need to start saying, hey, can I follow this person? Can I lead this person? Am I the person who ought to be getting married? Read your Bible one time a week, hardly ever participate in any kind of thing spiritually. You think something magical is going to happen when you get I do? No, it's just going to expose you. You need to get serious about that right now. And for heaven's sake, don't learn to hide it. Nod your head if you're still with me here. Don't learn to get good at being a phony. Again, I don't think you ought to tell everything going on in your life. That seems like something for an afternoon talk show kind of thing. scare everybody off there. Instead, I want to do this. Lord, you protect my home. Protect my home. I was, been a minute. I still live in North Carolina, so what, 9-10 years ago. I was at a different kind of setup, a seminar, a conference kind of thing, and they had a guest speaker in. I didn't really know the guy. And he got up there, man, he started talking about supernatural, not a problem. Then he started talking about different things. And he flatly said, he said, when you invite, and he just started rolling off things. Demonic shows and whatever was popular at the time, he was rattling off these kind of things in movies. When you invite wickedness, when you show scenes of people engaged in intercourse and all these kind of things, he said, you are telling God you do not want his protection. And I was halfway back. I was there as a guest. Man, and I took real offense at what he said. The supernatural bent, the supernatural kind of thing, and hand of protection. It sounded really, really off. Really off to me. And I sat there, and he kept on going. He was really making his point, and he kept on going. He didn't elaborate. And I thought, you know, I don't know I disagree with him as much as I'm just offended at the thought that my actions have repercussions on my family. And I couldn't give you the guy's full argument. I couldn't give you the guy where his text was. But I have carried that with me for years now. Buddy, you be careful. Because it may not blow you to pieces, but it may tear your children all to pieces. You guard your heart. You make sure that you are constantly inviting God to be the one who takes care of your home. Living for him. This is what's necessary. What's needless? What's needless? Go to verse 2. You still with me? Say amen. Verse 2. It's vain. It's empty. It's pointless for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. What is pointless? Pointless for you to work and work and work and not understand verse 1. What matters is the spiritual. What matters is that God builds a house. What matters is that the foundation is laid on the word and the doctrine. What matters is that. What does not matter is the other. In comparison, I think you ought to provide for your family. I think you ought to provide for yourself. I think you ought to provide for your spouse. I think you ought to work hard. Work hard. Those of you that are dating, those of you that are courting, man, you need to see. This guy always late for work. Can he not keep a job? This lady do what she's supposed to? You show up unannounced, man. Does it look like a scene of hoarders in her room? So you get in the car, man, you got to kick through the bottles, got to kick through the wrappers from the convenience store and all. It matters. I think those things matter. I think character matters. I think it matters so very, very much. But it does not matter as much as the spiritual. Because you can have all that and not be right with God. It is vain for you. It is vain for you to do that. I gave you this quote, laboring in anxious independence of God is empty. But working under God in obedience to his way is fruitful. It matters. You can do just about anything for the Lord. I'm convinced one of the reasons that I get a little nervous whenever I see corn on the cob, somebody's place, is because our mom and dad, would get a bunch of ears of corn, we'd sit in the kitchen, and we would shuck the corn. Not like a preacher shucking the corn, but literally shuck the corn. The worms and the hair and the silk and all those kind of things. The more we complained, the more corn they would give us to shuck. And we'd do that. I snapped beans, done those kind of things. And I remember that. I don't think we added anything to what was going on. We couldn't do it that fast. We didn't do it that well. somewhere in my mom and dad's head was the fact we needed to do something just to understand the value of hard work, appreciate where their food came from and all, and usually ended in tears. What kind of tears? We would sass and we would be ugly and angry until we'd finally push the envelope and one of our parents would take us out and apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. And so I have lots of trauma thinking about corn on the cob and those kind of things. And yet I still survive. Somebody say amen. And character form that way. You can do good work for the Lord. Truth of the matter is, when you do poor work and you keep claiming to be a Christian, you're giving the wrong impression of how of what you ought to be doing for the Lord. You ought to sign your work with excellence because you belong to the Master. But not to do it anxious, not doing anxious. So what's the blueprint? Flip back just several books there to Deuteronomy. Let me give you a couple ideas. Again, whatever your family looks like, whatever your home looks like, let me give you a couple ideas how you can apply this, how you can help it out, and how we as a church are going to help bless these families in just a minute as they dedicate themselves and their children to the Lord, So the blueprint, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. This is a familiar passage. Some of you, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the Shema. That's the that's the claim. God is true. God is one God. He is unified. He's not poly. There's not many gods. There's one God. Verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And these words which I command thee shall be in your heart. Memorize them, meditate them, think about them. Verse 7, you shall teach them unto your children, diligent to your children, shall talk with them in the way, and when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. 6, 4 through 7. These things are important. These things matter. These things matter. This is what we're to do. So I think there's a couple things. One, there's a commitment. That's what we're going to do today. Look right at me. There's no stand with water here. No baby is getting a bath today. They may need it. Melody Rose probably wouldn't appreciate that at her age. They may need it. But children get baths. Babies get baths. Babies don't get baptized. You call it whatever you want. And we say they don't get baptized because they can't believe for themselves yet. So this is for them in one sense, but this is really for the parents. The parents are saying, I intend to do this. I intend to be countercultural. I don't intend to set them in front of a screen, let anything want to come on there. I don't intend for them to watch any kind of movie and pick up any kind of bad language. I don't intend for them to go, Sunday is optional. I don't intend for them to go, man, my mom and dad never prayed with me before I went to bed. I intend to make sure with the best I can, with all the tools I have and any help I can get, that my children understand who God is and that he loves them, that he dies for them, that they're sinners and they need to be saved. And I'm praying and have been praying and will continue to pray from this moment on, and we join together, that these young people will trust Christ at an early age, that they'll follow him in baptism, that they'll learn to walk with God, and that their life will make an impact for King Jesus. By the way, if you believe that's a great dedication, say amen. And if you think it'll take all of us to help these folks do it, you'd be right too. There's a lot of difference. Somebody rolling their eyes, clucking their tongue, going, did you see so-and-so? Going, I ran into so-and-so the other day at the store. Boy, she looks different. Boy, he looks different. Can't believe they sat on the row across from me. They heard the preaching. I heard. They turned 18 or 19 or 20, and they were out. And their life's a mess, and you're broken and burdened, and you're stopping short of anything close to gospel. You're going, I want you to know I've been praying. You go up to the parents. I saw them the other day. I greeted them, and I want you to know I'm praying for them to either come back to the Lord or go to the Lord the first time. I don't want to develop a callous or immunity. I tell you what, I have been on the other end of that. I've seen that and all kind of things. You wouldn't be surprised how helpful that is to a parent. A grandparent. Why? Because we covenanted together. I'm going to pray for these young men. I'll pray for these. It's a commitment. It's not incidental. It won't happen. By the way, nobody's born good at it. You got to keep doing it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Where's the farmer back there? Where's the farmer? Farmer's in my office the other day. He was asking about something. I said, it's in that bookcase right there. He says, you got a lot of books about parenting and marriage and all that. Why you got so many books, preacher? Because I'm terrible at it. And he said, you got a whole row here about money. I said, I'm worse at that. And he went across the way there. I've got two bookcases about preaching and pastoring. So why do you have so many there? I said, you already know the answer. Why do you keep asking me these questions? And why you only have so few books on prayer? Because they convict me and they make me mad. I'm terrible at that too. I don't have books about stuff I'm good at. Nod your head if you understand. I got stuff where I need help. It's a personal commitment. Personal commitment. And then there's some communication. He says, when you lie down, when you rise up, make sure you talk about it. Till they can read well, read with them. Share with them. One of the things Andre's doing back there right now is drilling a memory verse into them. Speech. Let them hear you talk about it. Let them hear you talk about it over the dinner table. I read this, read that. My work break. The truck. I pulled out my app, read it. Man, do that. And symbols. You've heard me say it. We got really convicted. Somebody came. We didn't have a Bible verse. We didn't have anything in our house. We're just kind of minimal decorators. I said, Andre, we got to find some stuff. So we've got Bible verse. We got different things. You come in our house now, you figure out. We at least know who Jesus is. Symbols. Make sure they're there. And then their surroundings. I would encourage you. Nobody votes on going to church. Nobody votes family time, reading the Bible. Nobody votes. Nobody votes for going to pray over meals. Nobody votes. This is what we're going to do. This is normal. And if the whole world's running off a cliff, we're not running by it. We intend to do this. And I want all the help I can get. Somebody said, why'd you send your kids to Christian school? I wanted all the help I can get. Why'd you send your kids to Christian college? I wanted all the help I can get. I want to make it as easy for them to do right. I have. Watch the other end of that story. I don't want it. It's just as easy I can be. Riley was graduating from Temple and Temple Baptist Academy over there in Powell. They were thanking me for being a good parent, a nice parent and all. And I said, what else would I do? You guys agreed to help me in exchange for me paying tuition to help me teach my son about the Lord and help him to live right, and daughter. I said, there was no way I was coming here, Cross. No way I was coming here, man. No way I was being upset. You guys decided to agree to part with me. Man, I was thrilled for the help. Thank you. Why? Because we decided we were going to be Deuteronomy 6 folks. I gave you 12 rules there. 12 rules. You can read them. You can look at them. And I want to encourage you to do that. I like to do this because I want to make sure we see this. None of this happens in a vacuum. None of it happens in a vacuum. Can a young person get away from the Lord? Can a young couple get away from the Lord? Can a middle-aged couple and come at? Yes, but there's always a cost. There just always is. There's always baggage. There's always stuff. And the best life is a life lived close to the Lord. These are secular folks and all. Say, preacher, are you bragging about your family? Look right at me. No, the book's not written on my children. The book's not written on my marriage. We live in a day at a time just like everybody else. Nod your head if you follow it. But I'm as determined as I can be to make it as easy for the people around me that I love to do what's right. Embrace their gifting from God and to follow him with all their heart. Man, that's just me. Say, preacher, are you not tempted? I think I'm more tempted now by stuff, and there's different things I'm tempted by. It really bug me. I just thought when I get older, some of this would go away. It's just not true. You know what I figured out? I figured out there's folks in a lot of places now I would really, really mess up if I gave in. Went down the wrong road. Wait for it. There's folks where I've spoke at in other places, other country. I can keep going. There's a generation of folks I helped train would be completely, really, really upset if I fell into sin, out of the ministry, left on you, whatever it is. Nothing about that moves me quite like the fact that I've got a wife who committed to me 27 years ago, and I got two children that God blessed me with, who would be very upset. And I would not offend them for the world. But I have a Savior who died for me and shed his precious blood for all the awful things that I would do. And I hope I would never offend his heart. So where are you at? At 53, I think I'm as humble as I've ever been about this subject. Whatever your home looks like, I'm committed to following your plan. I am committed to praying for others. And God save me from condescending garbage mouth. Look at me. And if you've already got a truckload of stuff and regret, there is a Savior who would love to forgive you, restore you, change you, and everything can be different because of Calvary. If you're glad for that this morning, would you say amen? Would you bow your head with me? Let's pray together. As we bow to pray, if you need to go and grab your young person from the nursery, you're welcome to do that now. In a minute, we're going to do differently. We're going to pray with these people, and then we're going to invite you to come up and pray with them so everybody will get a chance to respond. But if you're like me and you're challenged again, I want to help.